From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Hezbollah is waiting for the arrival of five prisoners as part of an exchange deal with Israel. Earlier, the group handed over the remains believed to be those of two Israeli soldiers who were captured in 2006. Israeli forensics teams are working to confirm the identities. NPR's Ivan Watson is at the Nakura border crossing where the Lebanese prisoners are to be returned. He reports the mood is festive.
You can hear the patriotic Hezbollah marches playing here at a pavilion that's been erected on the Lebanese side of the border with Israel, where the bodies of some 200 Lebanese and Palestinian fighters and five Lebanese prisoners are expected to be welcomed imminently. Hezbollah has set up an elaborate ceremony here and in Beirut. This is being billed by Hezbollah as a victory from God. And there is a banner over the pavilion here which declares in English, quote, pain in Israel, joy in Lebanon.
NPR's Ivan Watson at the Nakura border crossing in Lebanon. The bodies of nearly 200 Palestinians and Lebanese also will be returned as part of the agreement. A federal appeals court in Virginia has ruled that the Bush administration does have the power to detain suspected enemy combatants. However, it declared that the person must be allowed an opportunity to challenge the detention. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
The decision by the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was close, with seven opinions covering 216 pages. Though in the end it will likely be seen as a loss for the Bush administration, Justice Department officials suggested yesterday they could live with it. At issue was whether and under what circumstances a president may designate a legal resident alien as an unlawful enemy combatant, and what evidence must be presented in court to justify such an indefinite detention. Yesterday, the appeals court ruled that while the president may order such detentions, he must justify them in court with considerably more direct evidence than was presented in this case. The court said the government cannot, without more, just lock someone up indefinitely based solely on a declaration by a Defense Department official that the detainee is a sleeper Al-Qaeda agent. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
It went 15 innings and lasted for nearly 5 hours, but the American League pulled out a 4-3 win over the National League in Major League Baseball's All-Star Game in New York. Michael Young won the game with a sacrifice fly. The game lasted 4 hours and 50 minutes, making it the longest All-Star Game in terms of time. It also tied an All-Star Game mark for the most innings. J.D. Drew of the Boston Red Sox was named the game's most valuable player. Oil prices held steady in Asian trading today. U.S. light crude for August delivery is up 11 cents to $138.85 a barrel. Stock prices in Tokyo, the Nikkei average rose by 6 points. This is NPR News. Homosexual couples nationwide may soon be able to get married in Massachusetts. The state Senate voted to repeal an old law that prevents couples from marrying in Massachusetts if they cannot legally unite where they live. NPR's Tovia Smith has more.
Unlike prior votes on gay marriage in Massachusetts, this one sailed through. Many lawmakers found it easier to vote against what they say is a discriminatory law that was meant to prevent interracial marriages. But critics, like lobbyist Chris Mino, say Massachusetts is unfairly forcing gay marriage on other states.
What this will do is it will open up a Pandora's box of lawsuits to challenge the marriage requirements in other states, because it's open war on the other states regarding their definitions of marriage.
California already makes gay marriage available to out-of-staters, but a constitutional amendment on the November ballot threatens to throw those marriages into legal limbo. So many couples had been hoping to marry in Massachusetts, where a proposed constitutional ban has already been defeated. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.
The military reported today that the U.S. troop surge in Iraq is over. The last of the additional five combat brigades ordered by President Bush last year has pulled out. There are now about 150,000 American troops in Iraq. That is still about 15,000 more than when the troop surge began. The military says that's because of some overlap and a larger replacement brigade. The end of the surge marks the start of a 45-day evaluation period called by General David Petraeus, the top U.S. commander in Iraq. The general plans to use the time to assess Iraq's security situation and come up with a recommendation on when more troops can come home. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News.